Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Say, I can give you an extra pickle with your order.
I can give you an extra pickle with the order if you want.
Wink.
That'll work.
I will tell you, there is a tip jar there. If you feel you've had exceptional service.
I need my change. I got to do laundry.
Oh.
I'll give you the dollar.
Oh! You are a sweetheart. What? You're a sweetheart. Thank you.
Heyo!
Hey.
Yes.
We're back, baby!
We're back. You missed us. This is the Official and Practical Jokers podcast. I'm Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
And thanks to HBO Max, you can now watch any episode pretty much of Impractical Jokers as you want. And so we've decided to go back to season one, the first episode, and we're going to be talking about that today. How fun is that?
Back where it all started, baby.
That's right. Going back in time.
Very excited.
You can also watch episodes on True TV, of course, but you could choose whatever one you want on HBO Max, and that's nice. So we also have a special guest. James, do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, it's another James. James S. Murray
wow.
from True TV's Impractical Jokers is joining
Amazing.
Us today.
I have to tell you one thing that's happening now in my life, Murr, is I have a puppy. Who's literally...
I just heard. Is the puppy around? Can I see him or her?
Well, she's in her crate now because we want her to take a little nap.
What's her name?
Granny is her name.
Yeah. Granny the puppy.
She's really sweet, and I haven't been sleeping much, but it's been amazing. I keep complaining to my friends who have kids, and they're like, "Dude, shut up!" They're like,
"Yeah,
it's nothing."
I want to train my kids one day to just do what my dog does. Oh. You know, train outside, and we put in a doggy door, which will become a baby door one day in the screen. And they just crawl back in when they're done doing their business.
It's so similar. Like, you know, you probably want them to sleep in a crate. That would be great. You know, like.
The one thing to worry about is there's a lot of hawks around my property. So I'm just afraid, we had to wait until Penny was big enough that she could fight off a hawk. So the first few months, the baby might be around, might be tough with the hawks. I might have to keep an eye from a distance. I'm not going near a hawk.
Well, you should, when she's in the cage, you should give her a shank. So that, like, you know, she just knows how to stab.
Casey, let's not be crazy. It's a crib, not a cage. But it's turned upside down so she can't get out.
Whoa. Well, this is interesting. Which episode are we even talking about with Murr?
So we are talking about the very, very first episode of Impractical Jokers.
The first one?
And it features 100. A dog. It features a dog, too, in The Punishment.
Whoa. Are you talking about the pilot episode?
Yes.
Well... there's pieces of it, right? Mm-hmm.
There's pieces. There's pieces of the pilot in the first episode. The pilot episode and the first episode of Impractical Jokers are not the same thing. Ooh. Case in point, the pilot episode ended with us cutting each other's hair off in the hair salon. But we made that the end of the first 8 episodes, a mid-season break.
Right.
We moved to The Punishment, and The Punishment of the first episode became Sal picking up dog poop, right?
Yeah, that's the first
correct.
One. And
yeah. You win.
That's not from the pilot.
No, that was shot for series.
Yeah.
But the ones we shot for the pilot that's in the first episode is Costco. That's
exactly.
It.
Yeah. And
it goes what? Costco, White Castle.
Well, White Castle first.
Man on the Street, it's us. White Castle, Costco. Then it goes to us, sign here petition or like surveys in the park.
You got
and then
it. You got
dog poop. Is that? Am I right?
Yeah, it's
the order's wrong, but you got some stuff and you missed.
You're
one.
Right. You're right. We would have done the survey in the middle and then Costco after that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're missing one bit.
Yeah.
What?
Jam packed.
A tourist info booth.
That was in the first episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So what's the order of the first episode? We have 4
it's
challenges.
Insane.
4 full on challenges. It starts out. Castle of White.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then you head over to the park for some petitions.
Yeah. Yep.
Then you go uptown to Times Square for the tourist info booth.
In episode 1?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. That a little fun fact. I don't know how we're supposed to do this. So I'm just riffing on memories of these things.
No, this is accurate.
In 10 years of filming Impractical Jokers, the Times Square info booth was the coldest day we've ever filmed on. It was in the middle of the winter. It was like December when we filmed that or whatever. And we, you know, and it was literally single digits that day. And we had no money for the TV show. Oh my God, there's so many good stories about that day. Hold on. I'm going to back up. You know the famous story from Impractical Jokers history, from lore, where Rob Emmer couldn't find Mecca? Yeah, it was that day. We were going to an info booth in Times Square. And he couldn't. Yes, we commuted from downtown to wherever we were in the to Midtown.
You had to slow down because you said like he couldn't find Mecca, but Mecca was a security guard we had. But you made it sound like
I know Times Square pretty well. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mecca's
right
to the east.
Hold on, let me set the scene. So in the beginning, our security guard, his name was Mecca, very nice guy, still friends of ours, right? And super cool, cucumber, relaxed, easygoing. Rob Emmer, dear friend of ours, not the coolest, most level-headed guy on the planet. He would sometimes get flustered back then, as we all did. We had no money, no budget. We were taking the subway with equipment up to Times Square to film that bit on the coldest day of the decade, right? And we get out of the subway, and Rob Emmer we sent him ahead of us to go order pizza for our motley crew, a skeleton crew of people. We sent him ahead to get pizza, and he went up with Mecca to get pizza. The pizza took like a half hour to make, so Rob was late, and then he came out of the pizzeria and couldn't find Mecca. And so we come out of the subway a few minutes later, and we're starving. We've been filming all day. We're like, Rob, what's going on? And he runs up to us and says, the pizza's late, and I can't find Mecca. And then he runs off. And that's like a famous moment for the pilot.
Which is incredible, because that's a switcheroo, right? Like, Mecca's late and I can't find pizza, right? It's supposed to be that. So it's the same thing with, like, here are the wives of your photo.
Yeah, here are the wives of your photo. His brain.
It's beautiful. He's a beautiful person.
And that's how he got the nickname 911, which is it's an emergency situation. You call Rob Emmer, you call 911, and he's there to save the day. He eventually got the pizza. He eventually found Mecca. We eventually filmed the bit in Times Square on the coldest day of the century.
That's a great story. Oh, man. Season one, I was around, but like there's just, like you said, it was such a skeleton crew. I was either like on set or had to leave to pick up a van or get like donuts and coffee, or you know what I mean? So it was everybody. I was saying like everybody did everything. Do you remember there was a shoot we did where Gatto drove the van back? You know what I mean?
I
think mostly because most of the crew got drunk and Gatto doesn't drink. So he was like, I'll drive.
Was that the day we filmed Sal's peeing punishment in the escape room? Because we all went to the bar.
I think there were multiple times.
That was years later.
Wait. I know exactly the day that was. That was season one or two. We were staying in this like flea bag motel on the Jersey Shore in Seaside Heights. And we all went to the boardwalk afterward to drink. And Gatto, he drove the white van back to the flea bag motel. And the whole crew was singing in the back. We were done shooting. We were off work.
But that also with the vineyard, when we shot at the vineyard and Q got drunk the whole entire time.
Wow.
And then the whole crew was just like, all right, wine shots.
Did the vineyard ever air? I think it's one of the few challenges that never aired in Practical Jokers.
I feel like I've never seen that.
No, it hasn't aired. I've seen it. I was there for the cut of it. It never aired because it was very inconsistent.
Yeah. Everybody was having fun.
Because of all the wine, I mean.
Yeah, it was the marks were not the most stellar. We were certainly not the most stellar, but it had one of the iconic moments that I think we worked into the show at some point. The joke was, you know, you go to a wine tasting, you take a sip, you spit it out, right? And you taste whatever. So we made Q that day drink from the spittoon. Oh.
Yeah.
Of wine. Mm-hmm. Yep. All for nothing because we never aired the challenge. One of the few Joker's challenges that never saw the light of day.
I tell you something else that happened that day, just a brainstorm. We were all like just sitting around, like probably like having lunch, and we like looked around the environment and people were hanging. And we thought, I wonder if we could get a wedding speech to do a toast. Cause we were saying like something like this would be great to like do a toast. And then I think someone else was like, what if we did it at a wedding venue? Could we get that? And then that like kind of got the ball rolling. I remember that specifically.
Wow. Do you remember the rundown of the pilot episode, Casey?
I mean, I remember Costco. I remember because when I watched these episodes, I knew what was in the pilot because I didn't work on the pilot aside from you used my song for the intro.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember this is so funny, dude. I remember Sal was like, "Hey, come to North South Productions back at the old place, and come watch our pilot. You know, if you want to come over." I was like, "Sure." I sat in the edit bay. I think it was just like the editor. Maybe it was like, and he showed me it, and we came out, and I said to him, I was like, "What's all this thumbs up, thumbs down stuff? Like win or lose?" Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, it's like a format that they want to do." I was like, "I don't think anyone's gonna like that." I was dead wrong.
You know, there was three versions of the pilot with three different scoring systems. There was a thumbs up, thumbs down. Mm-hmm. There was a heart monitor, so we would measure your heartbeat on the bottom to see who could say the coolest, and that would determine the winner. And then there was a point system, a BS point system, as to who is ahead, and the narrator would allocate points at random to whoever.
Like a whose line?
Almost like a whose line, yeah. Isn't that wild? So I have in my house right now, I have three different pilots for Impractical Jokers, what was called Mission Uncomfortable. I have three different edited pilots, same challenges, totally different formats.
Wait,
the heart monitor, did you actually wear a heart monitor so it was accurate who was staying the coolest, or was it just...
The heart monitor was always bullshit. But with the intention that if we got greenlit for series, it would be real. You know,
but
that's in the original sales tape for Impractical Jokers, Mission Uncomfortable. We have a scene in the intro of us putting on heart monitors. That was the original format idea, and then it became thumbs up, thumbs down was the winner. But the format has always been very arbitrary. But the original pilot episode was Costco started the whole pilot, followed by us stealing food off people's plates,
right?
Yep.
In that Chinese restaurant that doesn't exist anymore, they used to love. Anybody remember the name of it?
I don't remember. I
know where it was. It was on Bowery, right below. It was a block away from the barbershop where you guys shaved my eyebrows.
I love all the landmarks you have for life. Is just like, this is where they put Novocaine in my mouth. This is where they shave my. This is so. This is where they burn my blankie.
2 blocks east of where I got that tattoo of a ferret skydiving. You guys know.
We
got
to do the walking tour of New York City.
Yeah, we need to do an official one because I think people have already started doing it. Because
have
it's
they?
Just. I think so. I think I've seen that, but I think we need to do like an official one and make that cha-ching.
That's a really funny idea.
Feels like a real Kramer bus tour situation that Rob Emmer would do.
Oh,
you know, he'd be driving the bus.
I'm hatching an idea right here. Why don't we do something for charity, right? Where any one of the actual jokers, the four of us, or all of us, or none of us, or whatever. gives the tour, and we have the, you know, sparkle laid out. We arrange.
So funny that you
you know what it's going to be, Mer? It's going to be one of those. You know how we've been trying to get those telepresence robots into a bit. It's going to be you on a screen, and like follow around this like robot. Going around Times Square. Emmer will be there in person to make sure the robot can get upstairs and whatever
else. Hard.
I was literally talking about the idea of telescreen robot. Yesterday, I was telling my nephews the idea about how funny it would be to see Gatto's face and his big eyes on that tele robot screen following, like, you know, as the new regional manager of an office. So nobody's met him yet. And we have him zooming around the office, introduce himself to real employees that have no idea that are on a hidden camera show. It would be so funny. I was talking about it yesterday.
Love it.
I want to go back to the episode for a sec because we still have to talk about it. That's the point of this. And the White Castle.
Why are we talking about it? It seems like we're talking about it.
Oh, I know, but like you're also talking about future ideas that I'm excited about too. But I'm still excited about these older.
That's the kind of you don't know what's going to happen on this podcast. Yep. Energy we want to elicit.
So White Castle, I mean, is insane because, and the reason why I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, it made it into the first episode was, this was one of our, still to this day, like one of the biggest chains that we got on the show. And I remember you would always push for that. And I agree, like and it was smart because it makes it seem like a legit show, which we've never been. Yep. But it makes it feel like this is White Castle's letting them film in their store. That's huge. So, and you were always the proponent of like getting these names on board because it's also just the stakes are higher for you guys too. Like we got.
I wrote the actual booklet we would send to these companies with the DVDs of Impractical Jokers to try to lure them into letting us film there. So there's a press packet is what it is. I wrote the press packet that had stats and who we were and the background, sample challenges, things that we might do in their location, what the day would entail. And I would send along a link. In addition to the Bible, the press packet, I would send a link to Costco edited down to take out some of the riskier stuff and keep the funniest stuff the more mainstream funny stuff like Joe nosing people to show them that that it was a good wholehearted, good hearted show rather.
Yeah.
How hard was it to get the very first place that you went into since you had no
background? Costco was a total favor. And we got into trouble for that. Somebody got fired for that.
No. He says with a smile on his face.
It wasn't me. The original showrunner of the pilot episode, Mike Addis, a friend of ours, good guy. He was college roommates with the guy that was like an SVP at Costco and had risen up pretty high. Or he was like the manager of that particular Costco. And the guy let us film in the Costco on 120, the one uptown. On the right off the FDR.
You'll see it on the tour.
Sign up now. go to gofundme.impracticaljokers.tour/noneofthejokerswillbeonthetour.
we'll just buy robemmer.com and use that.
Yeah.
It redirects to this.
Rob Roy Emmer.
Yeah, your tour hosts are either Rob or Roy Emmer.
It'll be both. It'll be a classic.
We get to Costco that day. And it was a little bit of confusion as to whether we could be there, but we showed them we had permission from so-and-so, and they let us go there. They had no idea what we were going to do. We had no idea what we were doing. But by the end, they didn't care for what we were doing, and they shut us down. We never finished the day of shooting. They shut us down. Thankfully, we had enough for all four turns, and they refused to let us film the intro in the store because as it kind of worked its way up the ladder, they realized we didn't have full corporate permission to be in the store, right? We had to sign off from Costco, from whatever, from the regional, whatever, but it never went all the way to the top. Anyways, so they threw us out of the store and we had to film. That's why the intro to that challenge is filmed in the public area in front of the store and not inside the store itself.
I remember.
Anyways, the episode airs. I think the guy ended up getting fired over that because he didn't go it's on him. They let us air the episode. We got permission to air it, but he didn't get he didn't do the right steps beforehand. So
wow,
that's on him. But they made for a great challenge. So that's why in that challenge in particular, I think you feel there's an air of subversiveness to the performances because there was all this kind of chaos going on. Where they were running up the flagpole because we were already there set up and starting filming. And there was all this chaotic energy on set as to whether we'd be able to finish the bit. And we finished it, got thrown out, and filmed the intro outside. Not the only time that exact scenario has happened in 10 years.
How awesome is it to be that guy, though, and be on a job interview and they're like, so why did you get fired from Costco?
I'll tell you what, though. The show has, over 10 years, I think, has proven itself as not as we're here to stay, as a good family friendly show. So I hope he got hired back.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Nice.
But you said it was chaotic, Mer. Your turn at Costco is absolutely insane. If you think about the show then is also cut together so fast. It's like joke, 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 joke. Like things don't really breathe.
That was Mike Addis and I sleeping overnight in the edit bays to get the pilot cut correctly. And the two of us insisted on as many possible jokes as we could squeeze into every moment as we could. And because remember that was shot for the pilot and it worked its way into the first episode. The idea was, you wanted to grab the viewer flipping through channels and with something so funny so quickly that they wouldn't possibly turn to the next channel. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the first 8 episodes in particular are frenetic in pace. That's by design to stop the channel clicking.
Because, Murr, within like 43 seconds in this episode, you tell a guy who's French that you hate the French. You then make it rain with someone else's money. You rip up someone's check. And you tell a man who has a cake for a memorial service, you ask him, who caked the bucket?
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 Who caked the bucket? One of my favorite jokes in Joker's history. Who caked the bucket?
it's a good turn. Honestly, the first episode has all. It's amazing also because there's all that funny stuff, but we also did a thing called outros, which we completely stopped doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Outros where like someone was just like, I can't believe you didn't say that. And it's like, we realized like, we don't need this. Why?
The outros were the hardest thing to film because you've got to recap what people just saw. And then eventually we just cut it entirely. You don't need it. Now we just have a voiceover kind of do a quick little recap, little joke. Much easier to write that than figure out funny riffs on what you just saw.
And now you have the Impractical Jokers, and now you have the official Impractical Jokers podcast to rehash.
Yeah.
A couple other things. Let me think about that first episode. So White Castle came about because we reached out to, I think he was like another regional manager. He was a Long Island guy who became friends with us, and he loved Practical Jokes. And he liked the idea. We sent him the Costco clip. He loved it and thought it was hysterical. And he's still, have his name. He's been like our biggest ally over 9 years. He thought it fit their brand as a slightly irreverent and, you know, but good natured, and they can poke fun of themselves. And that guy is, I think he's still there, has been the one we always reach out to for 9 seasons
We should go back. Once we can, we should go back because that's a good place to go. And there's always that pickup. There's like delivery and pickup that we could always, you know.
I'll tell you a funny story from White Castle. So that was another big score for us. We didn't film it for the pilot, but it wound up in the first episode of the show because it was so funny. The guy that... Do you remember Q freezing, holding the $20 bill? He actually froze for, I think it was a total of like 8 minutes or so, 70 minutes. And we couldn't put 8 minutes on TV of silence.
8 minutes? Are you kidding? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else. Remember also, maybe not that day, but we tried freeze another time. But the Q's freeze was like so incredible that we were like, well, we can't do it twice.
Yeah. And time doesn't really work as a joke on TV, like a time joke. See how long you can blank. You either have to speed up the footage or, you know. And then I think that sometimes the viewer will call BS. You know, if you speed up the footage, but we know, do you remember Q's turn?
Yep.
Bad receptionist, where he falls asleep for a half hour. Right. And that was in real time. And, you know, it's tricky to pull off time jokes on television because you just don't have the time. but that was one of the examples. We cut the freeze down to maybe, what do you think it was, a minute and a half on TV?
I think it's less than a minute.
Very short.
It's like 43 seconds. But we should switch that time clock. That's impressive.
That guy, the more interesting part of the story for me is the guy. Mm-hmm. The guy was just a regular guy, lived in Queens or Long Island was where we first filmed it. And he became somewhat famous or infamous at work from it. And at first, we've connected with him since. At first, he was kind of reticent to the fame. He was a bit embarrassed a bit by it, by the fact that he didn't say anything for that long. But then over time, he grew to love it. And now he has like T-shirts and mugs and things like that, that he's the of him and Q. He's the guy that put up with Q freezing for 8 minutes on TV. And and he's become somewhat famous because of it in his own universe, which
put
I love.
Put him on the walking tour. He's on the walking tour now.
He's on the bus.
Yeah.
he's
driving.
Tour guy.
There's a few special people in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
Sloppy Joe with some cans of milk.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, they had to wear ponchos. There's other things like in this early episode that are just small tweaks. Like in Costco, you see the whole crew because there wasn't a lot of room. And also you didn't know what you wanted the BTS, you know, the behind the scenes to look like. So you see like people looking at monitors and like, you know, just like staring into the screen and stuff. It's like very early on. Also, there's a lot of scenes like in the park where you guys have over the ear headphones. Why the decision? I prefer to, you know, to see those beautiful ears, Mer, but was that a conscious decision? Like we should switch to buds?
It was a cheap decision. The audio team, that's what they had. And also, I think we thought visually, this way the viewer realizes that we're listening to each other. You know, in the ear buds are less visual. And you want it to seem that we're telling each other what to say and do, and we're listening to each other and being forced to do things. So I think it was a financial and conscious choice at the same time.
Okay.
But not practical. God, they're awful.
Would you say impractical?
They were kind of impractical, yeah.
And so it worked. It fit.
I'll tell you what. We didn't know what the TV show was before Costco at all. We had no idea. Yeah. And after the day in Costco, I went back to the edit bay, and I used to be cutting back then. And we were working on that challenge, and we're like, this is the show. This is it. It's doing and saying what you're told. You know, it's not Little Dares. The original pilot episode, we had to go up and steal food off people's plates in the Chinese restaurant. Then we had to dance in front of strangers in the park. These are just pure dares, you know? Very different from Costco, where you're being forced to squirm and being embarrassed by your friends and to do something. And that the Costco was the first time we realized that's the show. And I think by the time we got to film White Castle, which we had filmed White Castle in series and put it in the first episode, but we filmed it 2 months later, 3 months later, after we had been through endless cuts of Costco and the pilot episode, and we really saw what worked. And I remember going to the upfronts back in 2000, I guess it had to be 2011, where they showed this. All they did to advertise Jokers as a new show soon to be coming to True TV, all they did, you know how the networks will cut together these commercials or promos for new shows?
Right.
And they show them at the upfronts. The upfronts are these advertiser rallies, if you will, where they get all the advertisers together with the networks, and the networks show off their new slate of programming and hoping that this company will invest millions of dollars.
It's an open bar. So
anyways, so that first upfront, all they did to advertise Impractical Jokers, no promo. There was no promo. All they did was show the Costco challenge in its entirety. That's it.
Wow.
That was it. They just showed the 4-minute challenge, no title, no nothing. It said coming this fall, Impractical Jokers at True TV, and it was just a hard cut right to Costco, and there was uproarious laughter. The place, I remember visually, we were at the Madison Square Garden Theater. No, I'm sorry, we were at the Best Buy Theater in Times Square.
Oh yeah, okay.
And the place was in hysterics. And the other shows that they put on the screen, the advertisers were like, oh, okay. And the place was in tears. The people were stomping at the upfronts watching just the Costco scene. So that is the moment that crystallized what the show was for us. We're like, that's it. It's do and say what you're told wearing an earpiece.
And that was filmed 10 years ago. That was 2010 when you filmed Costco.
That was filmed, it had to be July 2010.
Right. So it's 10 years like to right now. And
yeah.
I think that all of that comedy still holds up. Like that mustache clown, I rewatched it. It's just as tense as it felt when I watched it in 2010.
Don't call me clown, mustache.
All right, mustache. Don't call me clown. That's all I'm saying.
I think we're better now because we along the way realized that it's funnier oftentimes to fail than it is to succeed. That half the show is failing, and it's, you need to fail.
Oh, yeah.
It's funnier to fail. And I think we've gotten better at wearing our emotions on our faces too. You
yeah.
know?
Oh yeah.
The audience wants to see the screws being turned. They want to see what your inner turmoil. And I think we're better at that than we were back then.
Do you remember the night that the show premiered? Do you remember the date that it was?
December 15th, 2011.
Oh my God.
Wow. Did he nail it?
You nailed it. That's amazing. What did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
We wanted to throw a premiere party. So Joe and I went to all the neighboring hotels near the old North-South offices, speaking to their management in the weeks leading up to the premiere, asking if we could throw a TV premiere there. And we found one that said yes. The problem was the hotel did not have True TV. So we had to hire, out of our own pocket, the cable company to come out to install True TV, to add that channel to the whole entire hotel so that we could watch the show in their lobby the night it premiered.
And that's how long ago it was. Uh-huh. You couldn't like live stream from a computer.
So going into that night, we had no idea. We were at the mercy, literally, of the cable company. We had no idea whether they'd get it installed in time. I brought a backup DVD of the pilot from the office in case it just didn't work. And we had to just plug in a DVD of the pilot and just watch it. So thank God it worked. They got the channel installed hotel wide that morning.
Wow. That's incredible. Morning.
That's
and we
insane.
Went there that afternoon. Joe and I, we checked it out. It worked in the projector. We're like, thank God. Ran home, got changed into a suit, went to dinner with my family. Then we all went to the hotel and had a party. It was crazy. It was our closest friends and family. The network, of course, was there. And it was wild. And I remember there's a photo online. You can find it if you type in the tenderloins and things like that. There's a photo online of the four of us in a circle hugging. That is from that night. That's right below the screen. Mm-hmm. We had put up a projector screen. That is right. That is literally at 9:58 p.m. on December 15th, 2011. 2 minutes before the show premiered, the four of us hugging each other. And what we were talking about was this. The show may be canceled tomorrow. The ratings may be terrible. We may never have a second episode of the show. But in this moment, right now, 1 minute before we're premiering on TV, we made it. Like, we did it. We didn't audition for it. We didn't get cast in it. We created it. We failed for 11 years to get to this moment. And it's real. It can't be stopped. It exists. It will always exist. No matter what happens tomorrow, we have this moment now. That is the exact conversation we're having in that photo you can find online. And
that's amazing.
Awesome.
It really is. You guys should like remake that photo on December 15th, 2021, when it's like.
Wow, that's crazy. We started filming in June 2010. We didn't premiere until December 15th, mm-hmm. 2011. Nuts. Long time.
What a crazy, it's been insane since then. Movies and other shows and like books out.
Misery and Death.
The tours. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And last night you had David Zucker on Dinner Party.
That's right. We had Zucker. Last week we had Ed Harris. We had Jeff Daniels, Roy Wood Jr. Come on. It's been such a fun run with Dinner Party too.
That's great. That's
crazy.
Yeah. Mer, do you remember what the first words of the episode were? The premiere.
It's so good.
You're outside away.
First,
it's Sal.
Hold on.
Yeah, uttered.
Hold on.
Uttered by the Joker.
First words of the first intro. White Castle.
Yep. Exactly.
Hold on. I'm not.
Don't look it up.
What am I looking up? I'm on my computer. My phone is here.
You looked down.
Thinking.
I thought
Give
maybe you're right there.
You look incensed.
He's looking it up. He's got the Minority Report. Like,
stop talking. Everybody, stop talking for 1 second. Sal has the first line.
Two words.
Yeah, the star of the show has the first line.
Hold on. Oh, it's coming to me.
Merce, thank you.
No one's talking.
Stop. Stop making any sound. I can picture him saying it.
It's a podcast.
You cut the silence out, Casey.
It starts with an L.
Stop
both of them do.
Saying anything. Hold on. Leaping lizards.
Wow.
Yes. Leaping lizards. Congratulations. Whoa.
Mer's a robot, confirmed. I don't know what you just pulled it out of the back of your mind.
Leap and lizard. I knew it was L before he said L. I thought it was the phrase we say a lot in Jokers is happy day. I thought it was like lucky day or something like that. Like lucky, we say happy day. Do you guys know why we say that a lot in the show? Happy.
I've never heard you say.
Yes, it's been on numerous episodes.
I feel like I've never heard it
in punishments. I always start with like. Happy day, Hugh is our big loser, whatever.
Oh, that is, yeah. When you say it like that, it does sound familiar.
I've said it a dozen times on the show. That is a direct reference to Nicolas Cage in the movie A face off. Happy movie. Day, Caster Troy. Yeah. It's a reference to one of my favorite Nicolas Cage movies. Anyways, Leaping Lizards.
Leaping Lizards.
And now you brought up, like, you know, you say it at punishments, and this punishment's really interesting for the first episode because it's obviously, you know, it's like that thing of Sal grabbing poop. And in my head, I've always been like, why did he wear a glove? You know, and that's like the thing that's like, if we could do it again, maybe he wouldn't. But I actually, when I rewatched it, I was like, it doesn't really matter because he holds that poop for so long, in even in a glove. And it's the fact that it's someone else's dog's poop, I think that's the thing to focus on. So you're not even thinking like, oh, this is so gross. And the glove almost helps you. You'd be like, whoa, this guy takes
that,
other
you know why we
poop?
Did that. That was a choice made consciously because we thought it might be too gross on TV for people to see his actual hand touch it. That was entirely the reason why we thought people would be grossed out by it. We
want to be
trying to blast it up. Yeah,
wow.
If we reach out,
do you guys know a funny little story? A funny little story about the first episode of Impractical Jokers. The first punishment of the series is Sal picking up dog poop. We also came up with what will be the last punishment of the entire series that day in that park, in that same dog run. The final punishment of Impractical Jokers, the series, one day in the long future from now when we stop making the show, the
Not
final
that we
punishment
have a final.
We want to be going back to that original dog run and Joe takes a shit in it. Joe drops his pants and drops Deuce right there in the dog run.
That's our mic drop.
Wow. Yeah.
The Gatto Deuce drop.
We had $300-$400 on the line that day, daring Joe to do it that day when Sal was picking up dog poop, to drop his pants and drop Deuce right in the dog run. Deuce in the dog run. And we had up to like $300-$400 for him to do it. And he promised us that the final day of shooting, he would do it.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Wow. James, thank you so much for joining us today on the pod. This is
incredible. Guys.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
Glad you guys are back doing this. It's great.
Such great
stuff. Can't wait to be back filming very soon.
We can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Love you guys. Miss you too.
All right. Thanks, James, for being here. This is very exciting because we have another great guest for next week's episode. We have Joe Gatto. How cool is that?
Hey. It's insanely cool. How'd we get him?
I paid him a good deal of money, which is weird that he took it.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. He adopts. He doesn't shop, right? So when you do that for dogs, is it free? Casey?
He better not take my money and buy a dog.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.